Welcome to the Interactive Journey. Come along with us as we share the stories of parents, children, and professionals navigating a challenging world of various diagnoses, life transitions, and being human.
Well, thank you guys for doing this with us. I appreciate it. If we, you know, just go around, introduce ourselves to the podcast.
Sure. Hi, I'm Amy Barton. I'm Luke Barton's mom from Morristown, New Jersey.
And this is your first year in Special Olympics, right?
This is our first year in Special Olympics. We were invited to join the basketball team, and so Luke was had a great year and being coached by you and by Pete. So it's been an incredible experience so far.
Awesome.
Hi, my name is Dan Panetta. I'm Eric Panetta's father. He joined Bancroft, his school, many, many years ago. And Coach Steve was very much his mentor, his coach. He was constantly mentioning the things that he was excelling in sports and with the school. And then Coach Scott and Coach Peter, they also have really, really done a fabulous job of molding my son into the person that he has become. And I'm very convinced that if it wasn't for programs like this, he would be a totally different person. Thank you.
Yeah, that's... Sorry.
I'm Michelle Stilts. I'm Dalton's mom. Not a public speaker.
We're just, introductions are fun. We can get into the conversations as well.
Yeah. She makes the shirts.
I do the shirts. I plan the party.
Yeah.
Did you guys sit in each seat on purpose? Because you know your son sat in each of the seats.
Wow. Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
No.
Like the exact order.
Wow.
That was one of the great, Michelle talks about the part of we have the Bancroft, the Bulldogs picnic every year at their house, which they started, which is really a great thing. It's like, it's even though we don't really play basketball together anymore, but we still all come together.
And you still have it?
And we still
have
that. Yeah,
awesome.
Every year. So
we be
people that we
ways.
Haven't seen.
It's like our favorite event of the year.
Yeah,
it's full open yet?
New liners being put in this week.
All right.
I'm Scott Stilts. I'm Dalton's dad. I've been coaching Special Olympics for about 15 years now. Probably somewhere around there. Steve asked me. I was always at all the practices, all the games, in the stands, and then Steve just came up to me and asked me if I wanted to, you know, get off the stands and come and sit by the bench by him and coach, and after that.
Yeah, we had some firepower on the bench. We had some, when James and you and me were on the bench, it's like, oh my God, we're going to get a technical definitely.
Yeah, a couple. We calmed down as years
the age is, I've matured a little bit with the referees, I think.
They mentioned the technical. Yeah.
Well, they mentioned the technical.
You're never going to live that down, Steve.
That I called a timeout when I didn't have a timeout. I forgot, I put that out of my memory and they reminded me of it.
It's memorable.
Nice.
I'm Pete Poole. I'm Peter's dad. I've been involved in Special Olympics. I've been in coaching Peter since he was about 5 years old in the rec programs. But with Special Olympics, probably about 12 years, something like that. And for the same reasons why these guys coach and get involved, we're there. And, you know, we want our kids to be involved and supported. And who's better to do that than their parents? And don't ask them that, but that's why we do it. And it's not only changed his life, I feel, but also mine as well. I've gotten to coach many different teams, many different sports. Between the three of us, there's probably not a sport that Special Olympics has that we haven't coached or done.
That's true.
So it's opened up, not just doors for him, but for me as well.
And I'm Ann Poole, Peter's mom. I have been just kind of the background person trying to help out. I never really wanted to coach. I just wanted to kind of make sure everyone got where they were supposed to. I have been coerced into a position now that I am coaching. I'm coaching softball. And I'm not quite sure how that happened. I tried really hard not to. But we've been involved since 2011 when Scott Dalton's dad invited Peter to come and play basketball. And I remember coming to the, I didn't go to the first practice. Peter's two younger siblings brought him to the first practice. And the response back was like, does Peter want to play? You know, we're really glad to have him. So it was a welcoming environment right from the get-go. So it's been a great time. It's been a great run. And I'm really happy that we've been able to make the friendships that we have and the opportunities.
So all of you guys are friends now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, sure.
And a new
family.
Yeah, so we have new friends.
A new friend.
So, as someone, I was talking to the boys earlier, Special Olympics was just not on my radar at all when I graduated. This in general population was not on my radar. I kind of fell into bank, my brother was working at Bancroft, and like I kind of just got a job after college at Bancroft, and then kind of I met my wife there, and then like I had the opportunity to coach, and then once I started coaching Special Olympics, it was like, it felt like it fit, you know, like it was where I was supposed to be. But it was, Special Olympics was kind of thrown at me because I was at a place like Bancroft. For you and you guys who, that wasn't there, was that on your radar? Did you know about Special Olympics at all? Or was that something that was like?
No idea. Again, I coached Peter and his brothers in rec program, soccer, you know, baseball, t-ball, things like that. And we never thought that this was even an opportunity. We were just talking about this outside, you know, the stigma, I guess, that some of these guys have, you know, and even companies and neighbors and stuff, you know, they always picture, you know, a Special Olympic athlete is this 10-year-old Down syndrome boy or girl who, these are the guys. And, you know, that's certainly not the case. So, you know, Peter, and again, most of these guys, you know, where can they fit in? You know, where can they go? What can they do? And this just fits. This is just right. Like a concept for him.
And I thought this would be interesting because I feel like going in, because I'm in these public schools a lot now, and I see that like they don't know anything about this, and this could, I feel like this could drastically change their lives for the better if they could just know about Special Olympics and what else is out there. But you're right, there is that like stigma that even these kids in these public schools are like, well, I don't want to say that I'm going to be in Special Olympics. You know what I mean? Like that's a tough barrier to go through.
It's interesting you say that because like for Peter, when he was going through school, he was in self-contained classes in the elementary schools. And then when he got to high school, he moved into Yale School, which is a self-contained program. And he didn't have any friends. He didn't really do anything outside of school hours. And it was really, like there wasn't much out there for him. But once he found out about Special Olympics and was part of that program, all of a sudden he blossomed into this, you know, gregarious leader where he had all these friends and all these people that he went out with and people that he played sports with. He found a place where he excelled, and it just turned him around. If it wasn't for Special Olympics, he'd be sitting home playing video games by himself, and the world that's been opened to him through this is just unbelievable. I couldn't ask for more as a parent for him.
And that's what we were kind of talking with Eric about. I felt like when we first started Special Olympics, he was kind of like, he was shy, but I feel like that with Dalton and playing sports, it just kind of broke him out of that shell, and he was doing the spring shows, and he was hosting the, what was it, the graduation, him and Dalton put the show on. So it's just one of those things, I just felt like it just is so helpful for these guys just to feel like they're part of something, you know?
That was a real hard road for Eric. He always wanted to be involved, but he didn't know how. And when he went to Bancroft, he started there. There was a feeling of inclusion from the school itself. And that helped get him started to breaking out of that shell. And then when he saw some of his friends trying out for Special Olympics and such, he was apprehensive. You know, things that are new were scary. But he finally got up the courage to ask. And one year, he came up to us out of the blue, coming home from school. Can I play basketball? We're like, whoa. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where it all started. Yeah. So it's a great thing that he was exposed to. It turned him around. And now he's very verbal. He wasn't verbal at first. He's not a verbal child at all. But now he enjoys life.
Yeah. Now he won't stop talking, man.
How did you find out about...
Luke's athletic journey has always kind of been there. He started playing sports. He loved sports at seven, and he played every sport. I think we were up to seven sports in a year that he was playing. So he actually just really loved being competitive. But what was missing was the social aspect. So, you know, I noticed pretty early on that, number one, the coaches really weren't prepared for any kind of behaviors or anything that might be challenging or need, you know, additional, you know, coaching or attention, et cetera. So the knowledge wasn't there of how to work with somebody that might be on the spectrum. And so Luke ended up really kind of being alone, even though he was on teams. And I knew something was always wrong about that. If you're on a team, a sports team, you shouldn't be the last guy walking off the field by yourself or never being a part of anything social. So I realized there was some kind of a miss there. So when Luke got to high school and he made the freshman basketball team and the freshman soccer team and all this kind of stuff, when it came time for sophomore year, it was a little bit more challenging. And the coaches actually were pretty transparent and said, he's a great athlete, but the guys that are around him and on the bench with him and on the team, like they don't want him to hug them. They don't want a high five every time. They don't want any touching at all. And Luke's really touchy. So, and he's just very physical, you know, and he loves showing affection and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, it became obvious he was getting separated from his peers, even though he was a very good athlete. So at that time, we found Unified Sports at high school. And that really changed everything, because Luke could be an athlete and he could also be more understood and be around special education coaches that were incredibly understanding. And it all just started going in a great direction once we found Unified Sports. And then, from that point, somebody on the team, Unified, said, would we be interested in joining the Special Olympics basketball team? And I spoke with Ann Poole, and then she introduced me to Pete, and we figured out that he might fit into this team that you guys created. And from there, it opened the door to an entire world for us, and it's really exciting. Luke has so much hope for the future. But, you know, it's interesting. We were at the Wildwood tournament, and he wanted to buy swag, and the first thing he wanted me to buy was this T-shirt that said, I'm a proud Special Olympics athlete. And I thought, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So he feels like he belongs here. It's really exciting.
And that's another great thing, too. Like, when you think about, like, for me, I played basketball, but my career ended at 18 years old. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't going anywhere after that. Where Special Olympics, there's no time frame. So Luke will have this forever. You know,
he say he wants to play until he's 60.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm prepared.
They mentioned a cane.
He's going to need a cane.
I think it's really cool that they found their people. Like, I have a 14 and a 15-year-old, and I feel like they're still trying to find their people. And you can just see the camaraderie amongst the four of them. That's really amazing. It must be such a good feeling, because I know as a parent, one of my kids doesn't really fit in as well, and I know how that feels. And I can only imagine sometimes how you must have felt at times. So, you know, I really commend you for it's a lot of effort on your part too as parents to do all this.
It affects the family life. Like, we have three other children and Peter's our oldest, so right away it affected the dynamic of our family. You know, how's this going to work? How's my dad? You know, take your brother with you when you're going to do new stuff. And then, you know, Jason's just a kid himself. You know, I don't want to take Peter. He does this. Same thing. He hugs kids and stuff like that. But so it changes the family dynamic as well. You know, not just for you know, in our case, Peter, but, you know, for the rest of them.
There's nothing more powerful than when your child finds their tribe.
Yes.
To your point, you know, it's incredibly exciting to be just accepted for exactly who you are. And whether there's quirks or whether there's hugging or whatever it is, to not be rejected constantly and to be, you know, learn how to become more coachable and feel like you have friends that your mom or dad didn't orchestrate is really a beautiful thing to experience. So for us, it's been great.
Yeah, I was just saying to the rest of the gang here that Peter holds a job, works at Wegman, it's gonna be 9 years now. And I'm supremely confident that there's no way he would be able to hold that job down unless he was able to do, you know, that Special Olympics gave him that platform, you know, to be able to just burst out, like Dan said, you know, and just be confident and be able to just be him.
He does seem like he's like the leader of the crew. Yes. Because he, you know, everybody just goes right to Peter. I mean, I've never seen it before, but it's the truth.
I'd like to take credit for it, but it's really all him. And again, it's Special Olympics that has given him that confidence to be able to say, I can play, I can be a person, you know, I have a voice.
Well,
that stuff.
I know with Dalton, when he was younger, even before he started at Bancroft, you know, we did the, you know, the township, the PAL, and all that, and we had a lot of issues with, you know, even at that young age, he just wanted to play baseball, and in the dugout, like, the other kids were just, like, they would take his hat,
pouring Gatorade over his head, put it in the dirt, put it back on his head, and stuff, and I just happened to look in the dugout one time and I saw it, man. I jumped over that fence.
Right. And, yeah, I mean.
Almost got myself in some trouble. Right. At that point, because
How was Dalton handling that? Like, was he
laughing. He thought they were his friends. Yeah. You know, he just wanted to be a part of
whatever they were doing. Right. Whether or not it, you know, was at his expense or not.
Right.
So he just never really understood that. Yeah. And it took him a long time to realize that.
And that was the last time. And then not too long after that, then Pat said, you know, there's Special Olympics, you know, you want to do basketball. And then we got involved in that. And after that, he never played, you know, part of the town teams or anything like that. We've always done Special Olympics.
And actually, when he was high school age, he tried out for the high school
Riverside.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, small team.
And
he did the tryout and everything. After the third day, you know, even if he would have just been on the JV team or just give him a uniform or just put him in like a 2 minutes or whatever, that's all he wanted, you know, for him
just
to be a part of that team,
be part of it
and everything. And, you know, they basically, you know, just kind of turned him away where they could have used that whole thing as a positive. And,
right.
Could have ran with it, you know, and made it a big thing, you know, but they didn't. I just told them, you know, don't worry about it. You still got Special Olympics. You still have, you know, all your friends or teammates, and, you know, just continued on.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a blessing in disguise
that
you don't know, but it's better off for our kids, or at least my child, you know, to be around people that are more understanding and, you know, are used to different types of personalities and different types of, you know, challenges. So sometimes I think it might be a blessing in disguise, and it leads you into a better direction, a better path.
Thanks.
I know for Luke, it's...
For Sandra, it doesn't come easy either. I mean, you know, there's quite a few people that I've come in contact with that just don't understand when a child says one thing or an adult says one thing, but they're actually thinking wanting to participate or something in something totally different. So that's been a struggle for Eric, and I'm sure for a lot of people, that even people that are not handicapped or anything, you know, just to be understood. And I just want to make sure that Eric is understood, that people know what he's actually trying to say. He is involved with a lot of different Zoom meetings. He's been on all these different group chats where they're developing fun things to do to buy their time, or it may be something for exercise, or, you know, for all kinds of different things, especially in the past couple of years. And the people that are on there that run these actually do a very good job, because the kids, the participants that are there, they may not know that and what the handicap is of the people that are joining in, but they work with it and they control it. They make sure that the people understand what your child or your son is trying to say. And it's just been a real eye opener with all the inclusion, all the services that are involved, all the things that were made available, you know, within the past few years and even before.
Yeah. That's so, I mean, I've known all you guys for a long time, and you guys are these, you know, strong parents. But when that diagnosis first came out, was there like doubt, or was there a lot of fear? like, what's my next move going to be? And I, am I able to do this? Like, what did that, was that there?
For, I think for us, it's, it was a totally different journey because Dalton doesn't have autism. Mm-hmm. You know, he suffered a brain injury when he was just a baby. So it was for us, you know, we had this perfect little baby, you know, and one minute took that away. So it took us a long time just to come to terms that he wasn't going to be a typical, you know, he wasn't going to be able to play football. He wasn't, you know, do all the things that, you know.
Planned for him to do, sure.
Yeah.
For Peter, Peter, I guess because he's a little bit older, there really wasn't a diagnosis for him. We knew he was delayed. And what's funny now looking back is when Peter was two, we had him evaluated because he was late with his milestones. And of all the areas I look at, they look at fine motor, gross motor, their expressed speech and their interpreted speech and their social skills. The only area Peter wasn't delayed was his social skills. He was, you know, everything was really slow, so we started him an early intervention. And then even through that process, he was really good interacting with adults, but not with his peers. He really didn't have any friends, but he would talk to all the adults in the room. Learning now, looking back, you realize that that interaction is definitely a sign of an autism on the spectrum. And we spent a lot of time with him growing up. He was very explosive. He was very frustrated and he would turn things outward. And it was a struggle for us.
We didn't know anything about any of that. How do we deal with this?
Nobody could give us a diagnosis.
It wasn't new for us. Yeah.
It wasn't until he was about 12 when they finally said Asperger's syndrome, which was a diagnosis. And I remember talking to the middle school counselor to tell that person what that meant and how to treat them because they didn't know what to do with them.
Oh.
And that was a difficult time because we didn't know what to expect. He was, and he's our oldest, but he is the only one who struggles with these. Our other three children are neurotypical. So it wasn't like we knew what to do. The people around us didn't know what to do. I had a great psychiatrist who worked with him and she said, I don't care what you call it. What's important is that he's a good. Thank goodness for her because she set the tone for, we don't know what's going on, we can't really pigeonhole him into a diagnosis, but let's see what we can do to make things better. And during that time, I remember my own process was, I'd get the bad news, I'd be upset that day, and then the next day I woke up and I was like, okay, what do I do moving forward? How do I support him? Where does he need to be? And that's definitely been what's gotten us through difficult times.
Peter's very lucky, yes. Supportive parents, and you know, we found ourselves very quickly being educated in, you know, some of the programs and things that he would need. And of course, your parents, they know we're their biggest advocates as far as no, he deserves all this, he needs to get all this, and you're not gonna, I'm gonna fight to the hilt to get it. And you know, this is just at a child, and then you add, you know, puberty and all that other stuff, and talk about what a ride that was. And medication and, you know, all that other stuff that, which, you know nothing about, you know. And you start reading and you start listening, you start going to meetings, and you know, and you do the best you can. But all that stuff was great and it helped, but Special Olympics has done, you know, 10 times as much as any school program, I would say, that that has broken these guys again to use their adder shell. You know, and be able to become, you know, contributors, I guess, if you want to call it, to society or whatever. I mean, these are poster people for Special Olympics, you know, different levels, different skill levels, if you want to call it, but certainly, you know, you could put this group together and say, this is what it's done for them. Look at these guys now, you know.
We've had the harrowing experiences. We've had the beginnings. We've seen it. I remember when Eric was first exhibiting the symptoms when he was at a very early age. I was the doubter. I was the dad who was like, I'll grow out of it, or, you know, that, you know, this is just a phase he's going through. God bless my wife, Gina. She saw it for what it was, and she started getting him help. Along with the help that he started getting, I started getting. Because the psychiatrists and such that we're talking to, my wife and me and him, were helping me along too. And finally I started seeing it for what it was. I started realizing that help is needed and intervention is needed. You know, we have to adjust how we bring this child up because the conventional ways just aren't going to work. He's had some fantastic strides in his life, strides that most kids won't even imagine, will never go through. I don't know if earlier on when he was in here, Eric mentioned he was an Eagle Scout.
I had that down. I wanted to talk about it. I forgot to talk about it.
He actually became an Eagle Scout with all this regular badge, the regular work, everything that a normal scout could do. Yes, the Eagle Scout, the Boy Scout organization, they have special needs type work that the kids can do. Every single badge that they earn, there are special needs provisions for it. He wanted nothing to do with that. He made it very clear he wanted to do it the exact same way all his friends were doing it in the troop.
Wow.
And it took him a while.
Mm-hmm. It took a lot of work.
It was a huge amount of work, yes.
That's an incredible accomplishment for him.
Yeah. But he earned it on his own. And, I mean, some of those badges are immense. I mean, he hates math. You know, what kid doesn't, right? I mean, most kids hate math, right? But one of them was financial development. You know, he had to do spreadsheets. He had to understand them.
Wow.
He didn't like the idea of doing it, but he knew that it was a required badge. And he did it. Yeah, on his own. There would be nights where he would come home from school, and rather than getting on those games, PlayStation, TV, he would sit there and start reading that book. Start going over the things that he needed to do. And it was great. You know, we helped him a lot. And so did his counselors at the Boy Scouts. So did his friends at the Boy Scouts. But it was a really great experience. And that, too, you know, helped him a lot. You know, and it gave him a sense of leadership. Because to get to that point, you got to have leadership qualities. And he actually became a leader at one of the provisional scouting camps. And for several years, he was actually teaching the new scouts coming in all the badge work.
Awesome.
So it was amazing. I got a chance to actually sit there. I mean, this wasn't like a day or something like that. No. They would be there for 2-3 weeks at a time, living out of tents and doing everything, cooking their own meals, making sure they took care of their own personal hygiene, planning events, and of course, doing the badge work. You know, it was fantastic.
Wow.
And you know, that's something that most kids, regular kids, will never have the opportunity to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the kind of things that really matter a lot to kids like mine.
Yeah. What troop was he in?
Hmm?
What troop?
Troop 55.
Okay, putting that out there. Because some of them are really good and some of them are not as supportive.
Yeah, 255 out of Pittman. They were very supportive.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's a really important message that people that have special abilities or special needs, or if you want to call it a diagnosis, can actually be leaders. And I don't think that people really think that. So to Pete's point, you know, it's like, you know, we have to make sure that we're continuing to develop these athletes and these students to help them understand that they, in fact, can also learn and exhibit leadership skills, and just, you know, the issue, like, we go to a public high school, Morristown High School, and the reason why we love Unified so much is because it's given Luke an opportunity to be seen a little bit differently, not as the weird kid, not as the kid that doesn't have friends or anything like that. He's actually an athlete and taken that to the best, highest level that he can as a Unified athlete, and he realizes that there's other students around him that might not be as developed in many different ways, and he has an opportunity, you know, to be a leader on that team and to be looked up to. So he has to really be processing and thinking about his behaviors and thinking about his interacting. Is he coachable? You know, can he take criticism? How's he going to handle stress and frustration on the court or the field? Those are all learning opportunities for him. And as far as the diagnosis goes, I also try to help people understand that diagnosis does nothing for your child. It just opens the door to more resources.
Absolutely.
The diagnosis is just a name.
Yeah.
And really what's important is what's behind the door of that diagnosis. And sometimes, you know, people come to me, how did you get that for Luke? And why is Luke doing that? And how can I do it? You know, so I do try to really share those resources in lots of different ways. But it's about advocating strongly and teaching your young adult how to advocate for themselves and to show them, hey, these are your skills. This is why you stand out. Take advantage of that. Use that, you know, to become a leader and to become successful at whatever you want to do. So the poster child situation is a problem because it's our sons are among many student athletes that are the poster child for Special Olympics, and I now realize that. And it just took a really long time to find it. So now there's no stopping us. It's amazing. I mean, these boys are just extraordinary men. It's incredible.
They have a lot to offer. You know, I think people, that's where people fall short in their thinking that that they do have a lot to offer. You know, and for, we'll always be forever Luke's mom and Peter's. I still don't have. I've coached everything under the sun with these guys, and I'll always be Pete's dad. So. I don't have a name.
Well, so. Mrs. Poole got a shout out from Luke earlier, so
I got actually my name because I usually get your Peter's mom, right?
Yeah,
that's all.
Mrs.
Poole.
Yeah, Mrs. Poole. That I've come a long way.
You're famous.
How do you recommend parents get involved, like find Special Olympics? Like
I've been asked that question from people all across the country, you know, for what I do. And they, for the most part, they realize that I have a special needs child, and they have no clue. They know that they have a child at home, watching TV all the time, playing their iPads. So the first place that I always tell them, there's a National Special Olympics site. We go there, and from there, there is a state level that you can go ahead and select. And from there, you get a hold of the state. They will put you in touch with whatever local chapter is available. So that itself is the one way that I would recommend anybody across the nation, even across the world, to make their first touch. Now, if they know people that are involved with their local chapters and such that are readily available, absolutely. But if they have no resources available to them at all, at least there's that.
I know as a coach, and I'm an LTP, we have a local training program, I'm a coordinator for that. We've had Special Olympics New Jersey reach out and say, well, I have an athlete who's looking for a team. So I think that Dan's advice is the best one. Start with Special Olympics North America as a website, and then you select the state from there, and then get in touch with the state program. They can help you identify the sports that are available and the programs that are also, and when they're accepting when they're accepting athletes, then you at least know where to go and get started.
And for anybody who's skeptical about it, just tell them to come to an event.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's always, once you see it once, that's
unified or traditional sports, just come to.
Especially state finals. I think a lot of people think Special Olympics, you know, they just go out there and dribble a ball and they get a medal, but that's just not what it is. Like, people, you don't know what it is until these guys want to win. And girls want to win.
They want to win. They want to win that gold medal, you know, in the worst way.
Yeah.
You know, so that's our championship. You know, that's their. Like pro championships.
And that's what I loved about it too. If I think the kids were competitive, man, they wanted to win, and I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, this is, when I first came in, I didn't know what it was going to be like. And when I saw it, I was like, this is what I want to do. And Special Olympics is just, what I would have done at Bancroft if I would have stayed, if I didn't have Special Olympics to kind of go with it.
I remember we were at the States for basketball, and we all decorated all of our vans, all of our cars, and said, go for gold. And then I remember one of the parents came out, or somebody came out, and were like, why do you put that pressure on them? Like, no, I was like, we're not putting the pressure on them. I said, that's
like, go for
they
gold.
Told us to.
I was like, that's what they want. They said, they're there to win gold.
Yeah.
I said, that's what their ultimate goal is to win that gold medal. If they don't, then, you know, that's okay too to them. You know, they get a medal or whatever, you know, that's okay too.
But the nice part about that too is that there are multiple divisions. So you right. may find that some kids are higher level in terms of their skills or lower level in skills. They can find teams and programs and then compete at that level mm-hmm. so they don't walk into a venue and they get blown out by the other teams.
Right.
It may be like an initial when they try to figure out where teams belong, but it's nice to know that even if your kid's not going to go out and take over a college basketball game, mm-hmm. they still have a place they can go and participate yeah. and feel like they're being successful and feel like they, you know, are at the same level as everybody yeah. else.
I can't believe that it took till Luke was 18 to learn about Special Olympics New Jersey. It's just fascinating to me. I feel like I'm a pretty well-connected person. I've sat on boards, many boards. We've been in school, public school, for 12 years. Like, I am fascinated that it took until he was 18 years old. So now that I do know, and I'm meeting people like you guys, and we've made friends, and Luke's building relationships and getting phone calls from people from his basketball team, and building his own friendships as a young adult, it's incredible, and I feel responsible, you know, to do what I can to tell other people about it. And I use social media. So Luke and I went public with his autism spectrum diagnosis in 2017 and shared, because I was so bottled up with frustration and, you know, lack of friends and all this kind of stuff, that it felt so good just to say it publicly. And I have dozens and dozens of people that reach out privately saying, how did you find out? You know, our marriage is on the ropes. The siblings are tortured. I mean, you know, no friends. And so now it's kind of like become this situation where people are coming to me as a resource to figure out, you know, how to prepare for IEP meetings. How do you what do you do with Luke? How do you keep him busy? How do you make friends? All this kind of stuff. And just learning every day and then sharing it. And especially like wonderful stories, like, you know, things that you're doing, different sports, and putting that on social media and saying that it has been a game changer for our family and particularly for Luke and his future. Now I have more and more people ask me, how do I get involved? Where do I go? What's the website? You know, like, tell me about it. And I feel like we were so lonely on an island for so long that now that I know, I feel like it's my responsibility to direct people and share with them how they can get involved. I wish that we had 10 years ago, you know, been around people that are more understanding.
Yeah, there were certain kids at my other place that weren't going to compete. Mm-hmm. So we still wanted to run programs with them. And it was nice because I wanted the parents to have an opportunity to connect with other parents too. So they could say, you know, and they developed those friendships, and they also found out things that they didn't maybe know, you know what I mean? Like, if we had Gina at a practice with a bunch of other parents, she's going to be able to tell them a ton of things of where they can go and how they can do it. And that's just so important. And that's what Special Olympics has brought to so many families. And that's what I really love about
just
it.
Just take the sport part of it out of it. Like, you're practicing an hour a week, you got a game a week. But the social part of it, that's where my motivation comes from. Because just like you said, my son needs friends. Mm-hmm. He needs interaction. He needs things to do. And that was, you know, the match that lit this whole thing. And again, that's my motivation, that I can get a group of guys together. He can hang out. That I don't have to worry, you know, is he going to be bullied? Is he going to be picked on? Is he going to be this? Is he going to be that? And we have tremendous athletes in our program. I mean, one of our guys, Brett Flynn, is a young man from a broken home who's come just strides. I can't even begin to tell you. You know, he's now he manages a T-Mobile store. He lives on his own. He drives, you know. And I mean, you have to give most of the credit to him. But now he runs our group now. You know, he's the guy that we say, hey, is everybody behaving themselves online? Is everybody doing this online? Can we go? And he'll just, yep, we're all good, you know. And a lot of it comes from our group that we're together. And he's a pretty good athlete, but he's not like a standout in any way. But he fits in this. He fits this group well.
Hockey is a juggernaut. What are you talking about?
I was like, when Dalton first started basketball, and we didn't know any of the families. We didn't know anybody. We'd go to the games, we'd sit in the stands, all the families would be way back there, we'd be over here. Hey, I, you know, after the game was over, then the next game, we get a little closer. The next game, get a little closer. Then the next year, then after that, next year, we automatically sat together.
Took up the whole stage.
All of a sudden, next thing you know, man, next thing you know, the whole, like, one side of the stands were all pulled
I have
up,
some
man.
Of those pictures of the wild
one.
We
got the cowbell, we got the cowbell, we got the cowbell, we got everything. And then that's when we wind up starting the picnic. And you know, we started one year, then next year, I think now we're on our 12th year, something like that. And it's not just for basketball, it's for any sport that Dalton participated in, any teammate, any family member, they can bring their cousins, their brothers, their sisters, grandparents, whoever, they're all invited.
Yeah, it's a great day. Really
I
is.
Can't go into a PJ Wellahan's with Eric without him mentioning what you did.
What did I do?
What did you do?
when you had that event, PJ Wellahan's?
The fundraiser.
Fundraiser.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, he mentions the fundraiser.
Every time.
I was like, crap, what are the PJs?
Yeah,
we
had a really good time.
Had some ugly nights at PJs.
We'll talk later. That's one thing that I've said when Amy first started with Luke, and I have this from Scott and Michelle and Eric and Dan, you feel like you're part of a family. It might take a little bit to come out and you're not really sure, but they've been absolutely wonderful in how they welcomed in, and you're with people that are going through similar experiences, who've had the same struggles, and they understand you. And that's something that you can't even put a price on, but that's something Special Olympics offers. Now, I'm one of five with my siblings, and they all have kids, and nobody has a child like Peter. He's the only one. So I felt very isolated, that being on an island, like Amy had said. But then coming to this sport, the families have just embraced us with open arms. And having a place where you're accepted, even not only for the kids, but for the parents, is huge. Having a support system, how did you handle this? What did you do? Where did you go? It's more than just playing sports. It's a family.
Yeah.
There's no judgment.
Yeah. Again, it's and feeling confident that you can say, okay, dropping Peter off a basketball, I know I can leave him there for that hour and a half, and I don't have to worry about him. I know he's under, you know, the guys are there, and they're going to take care of him, and he's with friends. And for so many years, it was, oh my God, I remember being at work and get a phone call, oh my gosh, what's it now? You know, was Peter having trouble in school? You know, so every time the phone would ring, I would just get so tense. What happened? What do I need to do? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? You know, what, you know, did it affect this? Did it affect that? And it affects your life, you know, physical, mental, you know,
not
and
just
now.
Parents and siblings, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think we have the most amazing kids, you know, just because they grew up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Being the better, you know.
And same situation, you know. I mean, again, Peter's our oldest, so.
I was just thinking of the line where we go and we watch our kids, and the big line is, whose kid was that? Whose kid is that? And it's not only just the athletes, it could be the siblings, too.
Yeah.
Whose kid is that? So.
Do you see any of your the siblings going into the field of special education?
Oh. Both my kids work at Kingsway.
Okay.
So.
Paris.
Peter's sister is a coach for Special Olympics now. She and my husband coach several sports together. So, and our two other sons participated in the unified sports when they were in college.
Shelby, you did unified with Dalton,
right?
Yeah, I played soccer.
Coach.
And basketball. And I coached soccer and basketball.
She was Eric's coach for a while.
We got to go. Peter, Jason, and Peter, his son, his brother Jason, and I got to go to a unified MLS All-Star experience a few years ago in
San Jose,
California. They picked a unified partner, which Jason was, an athlete and a coach. In fact, we were the only family team that was out there, which was really cool. And the boys actually got interviewed on the field.
By Tyler Toolman from ESPN.
Yeah.
It was
right.
Fantastic.
We got to stay at the same hotel as all the MLS All-Star guys, and of course we got to meet a lot of them and train next to them. In fact, there's a quick funny story when they were with the Red Bulls team, and they got to go up to actually do a signing day, you know, where they sign a contract and they get the uniforms and all that kind of stuff, and they got to train next to the athletes, and Peter went up to one of the soccer players, Phillips, I think is his last name, and he goes, "I have you on my fantasy team for whatever video game is." He's like, "Oh, really? How am I doing?" He's like, "Oh, you're doing great. You got this many goals and this kind of stuff." And it was just again, just the opportunities to go.
That's it. It was a pretty rare opportunity, yeah. but it was still a wonderful experience that neither one of those boys would have had if they weren't part of Special Olympics Unified.
My daughter Callie goes to Loyola. She's studying psychiatry, and this is obviously something that's, you know, siblings really experience it all, and it's very challenging. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great things that come out of it, but there's also a lot of, you know, things that happen that get brushed under the rug when it might be their thing, because the child with special needs in the household gets so much attention for obvious reasons, and I think that those kids that are siblings really have to grow up a lot faster and be much more sensitive and flexible and all these things. So in Callie's senior year of high school, she started a club called the Friends Advocacy Network for Siblings to try to address and bring out siblings that have, you know, all these things going on that might create anxiety or stress or frustration. Of course, that was 2020 and COVID, but, you know, she knew she had to do something. And so hopefully she'll continue that. And then Luke's younger sister does Unified at the middle school and will probably take over that club when she gets to high school and play, you know, Unified sports. So it's just, I think what siblings go through is really extraordinary.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So 10 years, 20 years, what's your hope? For where do you see your son being in 10, 15 years?
You're looking at me. So
I'm looking at
me.
I'm going in a row.
So we have, I have four children, so they're battling who's going to take them. You know, and we'll have a place. I mean, they're already talking about that. And again, it's all through him. You know, it's all because of what things he's been able to give them through the things that he's been able to do. So, I mean, I think our hope is that maybe someday he'll be able to, he has a nice girlfriend now, you know, is it out of the realm that he could get married? We have several of our athletes that are married with children, mm-hmm. and, you know, it can happen, you know, and, you know, it has to be maybe a different dynamic, but, you know, I always wanted my kids to just get married and have a bunch of kids. Now, I don't know if that's in the cards, but just to have somebody to, you know, just to be happy, you know, with themselves. And
I guess I see Peter in 10, 20 years still participating in some way. Hopefully he can still play as long as he wants to. And he's talked about being a coach at some point, if that's where he moves on to. I think that he's really good at reaching out to people, and one of his super skills is to not judge people. Like, he just sees you as someone and he wants to accept you and bring you in. I think he'd be a good coach at some point, mm-hmm. because we call him the mayor whenever he goes anywhere, because he's always greeting everybody. I know it's true. We walked into like Unified programs at Rowan where he participates, and people say, "Hey, where's Peter?" And I'm like, "You know, I don't know where he is. He's out working the room. He's talking to everybody there." So I want to see him find ways to take the skills he's learned here, moving forward into his career, being able to coach kids as they move up into the program, and bring his experiences and his compassion and move them forward.
I think same with Dalton. I mean, he loves little kids. I think Dalton would do tremendously working with little ones. All his little cousins love him. But yeah, he has a girlfriend too, and he always talks about wanting to marry her, and
which is another challenge. You know, that's
another one. Stick with sports.
He just, I just want to be happy and just,
you
know, continue playing and, you know, keep striving, you know.
It keeps them busy, you know, and physically fit, you know, for the most part. I mean, Peter ran Broad Street. Grocery run the other week.
Really? That's awesome.
That's one of our other athletes, Patrick, know, yeah, Patrick, yeah. He ran it in 61 minutes.
Wow.
He's really, now he's 22, oh wow. 21, so he's a bit young. I kept telling Peter, I said, you're not going to beat Patrick. You're almost 10 years older than him. But, you know, we can, these guys can do stuff, you know, and they can, maybe they'll, like you said, maybe they'll be able to give back to programs like this that can,
to the younger generation.
You know, just by doing things like this that they can.
Pretty much where I see Eric. I mean, his number one goal is in life right now, and for as long as I can remember, is to make people happy. You know, if he sees somebody that is sad, upset, he'll do whatever he can to turn that frown into a smile. And he excels in anything that he's really passionate about. And that is one thing, that is the thing that he is most passionate about. So I can see him working with a company, organization, somebody that is working with special needs kids or working with individuals that are down on their luck and trying to just bring them up in the world and up in how they feel about themselves. Eric will probably still have need for like a job coach, and the job coaches are fantastic assets to the special needs kids because they keep them focused even when the parents aren't around. But it's not a full-time thing where the job coach has to be hand over hand. You know, they will guide the special needs child, individual, adult, and they will keep that person on the task that they originally wanted to go out for, unless that changes. I don't see that changing. He will do well, and I'm confident of that.
So I have a compassionate story about Eric. It was devastating for me. So we the summer games, probably it was the worst moment. So you have to check a box on to activate the people for the races. I don't know what I was doing. I didn't check the box for Eric. And,
doesn't
and
sound like you at all.
So we go to the summer games, and he's not on the list to run this event. I was like running around trying to fix things. I was devastated, so I had to go in and tell Eric that he wasn't. Even now, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it because it was very hard for me to go through. So I tell Eric that he can't compete in this event. And he sees my face that I'm upset, and I can see he's got tears welling in his eyes. And he just comes up to me, pats me on the shoulder, and is like, it's okay, Coach Steve, you screwed up. I was like, thank you, man. But even in that, he was so upset, and I could see it in him, and he still just came over to comfort me during that. And I just, it's...
He's a rock star.
Yeah, he really is.
He's a rock star.
Regina knows that if I'm upset about something,
she
just brings over Eric, and I'm good to go. Because he's just like, I call him my third son, because he's just...
Okay, here's my Eric story. So we're sitting on the sideline playing soccer, and I don't usually get mad when I coach, you know, but I think I was mad at the other coach. He goes, blah, 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 and I was getting this, and the ref was doing that. And then Eric comes over, and he does the same. He puts his arm. We're losing bad at this point. He puts his slaps on his chest. They're really putting the toppings on us, aren't they? How can I be mad now? That's his... He's like Captain Cliche. These things that he comes up and says, you're just like, that's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. And that was probably 6-7 years ago he did that. And that's still the first thing we think of when everything we think of.
That's come a long way. Yeah. I didn't know that one.
It's just terrible. It's terrible. I was just like rolling my hands up, like, how can I be mad now after doing that? You know?
For Luke, I guess he loves people so much, and he's very social. He also gets accused of being a mayor. he just really loves being around positive people. And our goal for him is to, you know, become independent, living independently. That's really what he really wants to do, so that's what we're working toward. But I can absolutely see him continuing to... play Special Olympics. We have a lot of sports to get through. We've only tried basketball and track. He doesn't see people's disabilities. Luke sees people's character. And that's just how he operates. He's just a very positive individual. And so this is like, to me, this is the absolute perfect place for him to blossom, for him to learn. And also, you know, he's a talented athlete, but he can only get better and better with great coaching. And sometimes when you've gone out of the traditional sports at high school and you're with Unified, you know, they're coaching kids on a full spectrum of skills. So the kids that are more athletic really have to slow down a little bit sometimes and not be so competitive and be more about just getting moving the ball around or being a good teammate. I think that the reason why Luke's so happy here is because he can actually be the best athlete that he can be without having to worry about all that other stuff and just getting, you know, real good coaching. I mean, that's what he has wanted for years. So I think it'll all meld together and he'll be able to play sports, hopefully become independent, maybe go to college. We're looking at that hopefully in the near future and have a place where he's accepted, you know, and where he can learn how to be a leader. So it's a great combination for his skill set and his personality.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys all for coming out and doing this. I thought this went really well.
Yeah, this is awesome.
It was really interesting getting both perspectives from the athletes and then you guys, so I really appreciate it. And
we apologize now for whatever they said.
I think you have to do a lot of editing.
Okay, I don't like that.
Very well. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really, thanks for having us. You were such an inspiration, I know, for myself, just listening to all of you as a parent and, you know, working in the field too. So thank you. I'm starting the week off on a really positive note. Thanks to all of you and to the guys too.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Thank, thank you. You so much.
Careful.
Happy to share.
I only live like 5 minutes away.
Thanks for listening. Looking for more? Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app and Instagram at The Interactive Journey. Questions, comments, or want to be a guest on our show? We'd love to hear from you. You can message us at podcast@interactivekids.com or on Instagram at The Interactive Journey.